And good morning, everyone. Good afternoon, good evening, whenever and wherever you may be listening to us across the entire globe. It's the Tarot Insider Show here on Psychic Talk Radio. I'm Dax Carlisle, coming to you live from Tucson, Arizona, and all the way from Pennsylvania. Yep, the other host of Tarot Insider, Janet Boyer. Hi, Janet.
Hi, Dax. Hi, everybody.
It must be Wednesday, because here we are, Tarot Insider.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo. So we're going to do the second in our special show series, kind of like mini classes on air here. We're going through the entire minor arcana of the tarot by the numbers. We started off with, obviously, number one. So we talked about the four aces last time, and now we're going to do the terrible twos. Okay, they're not that terrible, but... They're not that terrible, but that was the first thing that popped in my head. Hey, usually, you know, on we got shows 7 days a week, and we always take phone calls, and we even do mini readings live on air and so forth. But we have so much to cover and only really have time for questions relating to the two cards or tarot in general. So what we're going to ask you to do is go into the chat room and ask your questions, make your comments, and so forth, and we'll read some of them live on air. It's psychictalk.net/live, and that's good for all of our shows 7 days a week. You can join us in the chat room always. And when you go to that page, we call it our live page, there's a player there for the show for that day. And then you just scroll below you have to go below the player to find the chat room, okay? So scroll down the page a little bit. You'll see the chat room. You can get in there. It'll give you a cutesy little pseudonym to go by, or you can actually click on that and change your nickname to whatever you want. You can even upload a picture if you sign up for the chat room. Anyway, that's where we want you to go today, psychictalk.net/live. Or if you're on the website, psychictalk.net, the top of any page, just click Listen Live. Alrighty. So today, the two cards from the Minor Arcana. What do you think, Janet?
I think the twos are cool. The twos are the dynamics when we introduce another one to the original, the ace, or a number one, so then we have
mm-hmm.
two. And I see twos like magnets, the two cards like magnets. And they either exhibit an attracting or repelling or both energy. And underlying this attraction, repelling dynamic is the underlying need to somehow synthesize two different energies. You know,
mm-hmm.
so there's a tension between the twos, almost an on and off switch as well. And it's funny you said the terrible twos, because I was thinking how the Two of Wands, if you look at it just strictly numerically with the element Two Wands, you know, when a child starts entering the twos, I think a lot of the terrible two aspects is that a child realizes that he's an individual. He or she begins to realize she's an individual at that point. And then becomes a tension, whereas I'm no longer one with my mom or my dad or my parents. Wait a minute, I'm a separate entity here. And so, you know, it's interesting you call it the terrible twos, and I think a lot of that is, you know, this growing awareness of selfhood and the tension between who am I compared to my parents and trying to make your own way, and there's some of the rebellion and things like that. So it's interesting you said terrible twos, because I do see
mm-hmm.
a tension and an on and off energy between, you know, all the twos of the cards.
Yeah, but, you know, before we go into the cards, let's talk a little bit more about, you know, numerologically, you know, that two energy there. For instance, in the Aces show, I said, you know, just look at the number one as we write it down. And it's so upright and resolute, very phallic, you know. But now look at the number two, the way we write it down. It almost looks like maybe someone kneeling, perhaps praying. And it has all the curvature to it, you know. It within the number itself, you can see that. And I loved when you talked about having just the one, and then the other one comes over. And I always tell people, you know, look at the the Waitsmith tarot at the High Priestess card, because it has Roman numerals. So it has the Roman numeral 2, which basically has the two ones, which look like the columns in the card itself, you know. And so it's that one joining another one. And so you could see how one is masculine. You could see how the two is feminine. It's the most feminine of numbers in numerology. It's the all-knowing, the great mediator. It's the number of duality, choices, decisions, relationships, balance, resolution. You could just think of, well, you know, if you're making a choice, it's, two or more things, but at least two things that you're making a choice between. So, you know, again, the duality comes in. Her strength flows from her ability to adapt and go with the flow, kind of like the reed that bends in the wind, unlike the one whose strength comes from sheer power and you know, rigidity. So it's not rigid like the one. She's almost always gentle, tactful, diplomatic, forgiving, and understanding. Her duality allows her to see both sides of an argument. So therefore, she's the great mediator. She abhors conflict. She loves above all. It's all about love to me, and most evident in the Two of Cups for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Roman, yeah, if you look at the Roman numeral 2, I see it as like vertical magnets.
Yeah.
And if they
just
are
like
of the
saying.
Same polarity, right, if they have the same polarity, they're going to, you know, meld. If they're different, there is going to be a repulsion. But I think some of the energies are both contain a push-pull, except for the twos. I think, I think both of the feminine suits, the Two of Cups and the Two of Coins or Pentacles, are both attracting, whereas I see the Two of Wands and Two of Swords as this toggling between attract-repel, with attention, and I'll talk about that later. But yeah, the Two of Cups, especially, you know, I consider that the soulmate card, or as Anne Shirley and Anna Green Gables calls it, a bosom friend, like, you know, Anne Shirley's best friend Diana. So it's not just, you know, lovers in a sense. I consider Two of Cups the most intimate card of the tarot. I think true, unconditional, close, affectionate love is most manifested and reflected by the Two of Cups, because the lovers can be an arranged marriage, you know, or a marriage of convenience or some kind of contract. But with the Two of Cups, you're looking into two people who are simpatico. You know, it's like just when you just get someone. It's when your values and the values of another, they mesh, you know, spectacularly, and there's like little or no friction. It's very, very much oil between the two in terms of you know, smoothing out any friction. And so I see the Two of Cups energy is a lot like the two magnets stuck together. And, of course, though, you know, if it was reversed, there'd be some enmeshment to that. Or if it was, you know, reversed, it would be a lacking chemistry or incompatible or possessiveness or even a fear of intimacy. But upright, you know, I see that is a very attracting energy, the Two of Cups, two magnets going, you know, that are you know, attracting one another because of, you know, the opposites attracting.
Absolutely, absolutely. When I talk about the Two of Cups, I always, of course, I'm using the Waitsmith version, you know, and I always point out the winged lion head with the caduceus. It represents the Archangel Raphael, God heals, or healer of God. So there's a healing aspect to it. I mean, when we look way back to original depictions, there was often a choice involved. There was, instead of two people, there was three people on there. And
that was the Two of Cups, or is that the lovers?
I'm thinking of the lovers. I'm sorry. Gosh, made a faux pas there. You know, I'm not looking at the image.
Yeah, I was like,
I'm just trying to do this from, you know, off the top of my head, you know. But twos always imply choice, especially like the Two of Swords and so forth, you know. But there's always that because of the duality, you know. It's interesting to one thing I always, you know, point out is the caduceus is the staff carried by Hermes Trismegistus in the Greco-Egyptian mythology, and Hermes in Greek mythology and messenger of the gods, you know, Mercury in Roman mythology, and Hermes is also known as the Egyptian god of Thoth or Toth or Toth or however you want to pronounce it. I like Thoth, you know, writer of the Book of Thoth, which people love to connect with tarot. In fact, Aleister Crowley's tarot deck is called the Thoth Tarot or the Thoth deck, and the companion book is the Book of Thoth. The caduceus, though, is actually an internationally known symbol for trade, commerce, and negotiation. And so I still think it fits because negotiation, you know, that's part of the two energy. They're great mediators, like if your life path is a two. Now, the caduceus itself continues to be used incorrectly as a symbol for healthcare organizations and medical practice, especially in North America, due to its confusion with the traditional medical symbol, which is the rod of Asclepius. And that's just one snake wrapped around a rod and no wings. There's never wings, you know. But I think either definition kind of fits with the number two energy. And for me, you know, the Two of Cups, romance, love interests. That's where my confusion with the Lover's card comes in, because I connect these cards so much. The coming together of two, relationships, friendships, business partnerships. You know, it doesn't have to be romantic love, like you were saying, proposals, engagements, weddings, and so on. You know, notice that in the Waite-Smith version, only the male figure motions forward with an outstretched hand. Someone needs to make the first move is kind of what I get from that, you know. By the way, as far as the images go, I have them on – I put up an image on our Facebook page, and it's psychictalk.net/Facebook will take you there. On Facebook, you can search for Psychic Talk Radio, and you'll find it, specifically the group, not the page, so that you can go and take a look at the images. What else about the Two of Cups? Anything else
about
that?
I don't see the Rider-Waite as the gospel, you know, or the
thought.
Oh,
I understand
you know,
that,
I,
yeah. This is just the way I teach.
Because, right, and so, you know, I draw on other, you know, symbolisms and metaphors that have to do with two and as combined with the water suit and things. But how do you see the healing and the... You know, the snake, how is that connected to the Two of Cups, in your opinion? Hermes and everything. Rider-Waite and Pamela Coleman-Smith, you know, they did their symbolism with their own agendas in the Golden Dawn and what have you. But that is a relative recent manifestation of the tarot. That didn't come out until 1909, 1910. And so, you know, the Marseille...
Oh, yeah.
You know, precedes that, you know, by, you know, millennia. And so, yes, that doesn't work for me personally, you know, combining the Hermes and the Caduceus and healing all and all that, because to me there's no healing that's really being shown there. You know, it's to me it's like a sharing of values, or because the cups look the same. So to me I see that as like shared values. And the card that, you know, symbolizes healing the absolute most, in my opinion, is Temperance, you know, where there is like a mixing, and it reminds me of, you know, alchemy and how pharmacists have to, you know, mix just the right proportions of medicines for it to be healing. A little too much can kill someone, not enough, you know, and, you know, it's just a right type of mix. But, yeah, I just wanted to ask
you
because I was trying to see how...
Yeah. Well, you know, when I'm teaching this card, I'm talking about the love, and for me, love heals all. And I'm using the Waite-Smith so that there's a single reference point for teaching, so we're not all over the place. And people can learn a specific system but then they're able to go out and adapt it and use other decks and look at different imagery, draw their own conclusions in the future. But this is just, for me, it's the easiest way to learn, is to focus on one thing. And because the Waite-Smith deck shows up in so many books to this day, and that's how I learned, I like to teach from that because it's what I know the best. And so I like to use that as reference. So when I'm showing them the card and there's these images on the card and symbols in the card, I have to explain what those images are. I have to explain, you know, there's a Caduceus, you know, there's a winged lion head. What's going on there, you know? And for decades and decades and hundreds of years, we've always associated that with Raphael. And there's actually four angels in the tarot deck in the Waite-Smith version. You know, I mean, if you have the angel tarot, there's angels in every card, you know, but in the Waite-Smith version, we talk about the four angels. And in fact, we're doing a show on Saturday, Mary and I, and we're going to be talking about creating sacred space. And some of my favorite ways is setting up a setting up an instant sacred space using the deck itself. And I use, in one version, I use the aces for the four elements and the magician card in the center. And then in another version, I actually use the four angels from the Waite-Smith version of the deck in order to do the same thing, only from an angelic point of view. For those people that, you know, want to call in the four fixed angels for creating sacred space. So we're going to be talking about that on Saturday. But, you know, it's just, it's always related to healing to me. In the two energy in numerology, like I said, they make great mediators. A lot of two life paths are healers and doctors and nurses, especially. And it's, to me, it's all about healing, you know. So it's all your own point of view and what you want, you know, what you want to set up, you know, in your subconscious mind. For me, learning tarot is learning a language, and it's not going to mean the same thing to you as it's going to mean to me or to somebody else. You know, we all have to create our own definitions. That's why there's 1,000 different tarot decks on the market and all different imagery, and you can draw different conclusions because there's all this different, you know, imagery going on. But I do it by the numbers and relate it to what that energy, what the two energy means, the one energy, the five energy, and so on. And of course, when I'm talking about when I'm doing it by the numbers in my course, I'm using all the twos, every card that is a two or reduces to a two, including the ones from the major arcana. So I draw a more complete picture of that two energy with that, you know. But you can see it all in the twos. The two cards really exude all of that dualistic energy from the twos from numerology. What card do you want to look at next?
Actually, I wasn't done with the Two of Cups, if that's okay.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I wanted to tell people out there that, you know, if angels don't jive with you, you know, you don't have to make those kind of associations with cards, mm-hmm. and you don't have to be a Christian, and some pagans, you know, they have no relationship at all with angels. So I just want to put that out there that, you know, if you want to learn tarot or you're trying to learn tarot, don't feel that you have to invoke angels or even correspond with angels or anything like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's just what some people do. I see a Two of Cups is also as when you love someone warts and all. So you're saying how, you know, love heals all. I think it depends on the type of love. I mean, there's conditional love, like phileo, like I love you because I like you, and I agree with you. You know what I'm saying? I'm not so sure if is that necessarily healing, you know? But then there's, of course, there's Eros, you know, the raw sexuality, you know? But agape, you know, that's the unconditional love that I think can be extremely healing. That's when you love someone warts and all, and you just accept someone, and there's that mutual admiration, you know. So I just want to comment about that with, you know, the Two of Cups. It's a card of intimacy. You know, there's a sense of, you know, nakedness and intimacy there with the Two of Cups, of revealing yourself to another and accepting what you see, you know. Well, going on to the Two of Coins or Two of Pentacles, I see this as also, as the other feminine suit, as like an attracting energy. And I almost call this like the catch and release card. And that's because it's a card of multitasking and adaptation and improvisation. I don't know if you've ever heard of this improv technique. Have you ever seen the show Whose Line Is It Anyway? Where they give a line and then they have to complete it, and they're like trying to make an impromptu play or skit based on the line.
Well, never watched that.
Yeah, I like the real old version. But that's comedic improv. And, you know, one of the things that comedic teachers tell their students who are trying to be comedians is an improv technique called yes and. And that means, like, if somebody gives you a weird line or, you know, a response, you know, you don't say no or try to switch it or repel it, because then you shut down the flow of energy and you halt the improv. So instead, consider it yes and. So, for example, you know, you're doing live improv, let's say with three or four people, comedic improv, and, you know, you're playing off of each other. And let's say somebody, you know, tosses something really weird at you, like a purple cow, and it's not where your mind thought it was going to go. You know, you can't, well, you can, but you would, you know, stop and kind of ruin the improv by saying, yeah, but then she decided that the purple cow didn't matter, you know. But what teachers of improv and in comics, you know, say is, no, you roll with it. You say yes, and yeah, and the purple cow was also right beside, you know, an orange, you know, hippo, and, you know, and so you take what is given to you, and then you pass it on. You know, it's kind of like a game of hot potato, but it's more comfortable. So I see the Two of Coins, you know, as an attracting energy. Something comes your way, you accept it, deal with it, and move on. You know, so that's the energy I see with the Two of Coins. It's a thinking on your feet. It's a juggling card, like, you know, juggling appointments or tasks or duties or kids. You know, some stay-at-home moms, you know, are like the quintessential example. I was just writing the Two of Coins card yesterday for the Coffee Tarot Companion. So, and it shows a barista that has like three coffee cups in the air. Well, no, actually she has coffee containers and some syrup and other things, and she's juggling while she's making coffee. So it was kind of like a funny representation of how this is just a multitasking and adaptable type of card. There's no repelling here. It's kind of like a bring-it-on energy. I can handle this. You know, I can toggle between activities with ease. You know, I can manage those kids' schedules. Now, if it becomes too much, then, you know, you start to veer into the Ten of Wands territory. But I see the Two of Coins as attracting things, and the things come your way, and you catch and release. You deal with it, and you pass it on, and deal with it, and pass it on. And the person, every time this card comes up for someone, I'm always encouraged, and it encourages them, because I always say, you can handle this. This card is saying that you can handle more than one thing with ease, that you're not going to get overwhelmed. You know, that there's going to be a nice flow of movement of going from thing to thing to thing. And so I see that as, you know, more of an attracting energy. You take.
You know, I see all the same things. You know, juggling is the big thing. You know, if you're looking at the Waite Smith version, I always point out about the figure wearing clothes that's orange, the red of passion and enthusiasm, and the optimism of yellow. He balances two pentacles or coins, juggling finances maybe, and there's the waves and the ships in the background showing the ups and downs of that, you know. And sometimes it could mean finances are stretched to the limit, or indicated playing with money. Look how he's, you know, he's juggling
absolutely.
Money, you know. Yeah, gambling, investments.
Or even using coupons to save money. Because
there
you know, you're juggling – Yeah, you're trying to, you know, manage your finances, and you know, you use coupons to try to, you know, and if you're a real coupon warrior, it could become like a science where you have tons of coupons and you have them in categories, frozen foods, you know, vegetables, cleaning supplies, and what have you. But absolutely, and also, too, in the Rider-Waite-Smith card, as, if I recall correctly, the tunic was like orange, and I always see that as a card of happiness and joy. So it's almost like this person doesn't see it as a burden necessarily, that they're doing it well and they're adaptable and they do it with ease. And I think his shoes and the lemniscate that goes around the coins are green. And so I see that as being very grounded, and he's not going to fall anytime soon, but also opportunities for growth and to increase the facility of, you know, juggling more than one item. Because, you know, the more you multitask, you know, the better you get at taking on more responsibility.
Right, right. And you know, I love the contemporary looks on the cards, you know, the contemporary definitions or ideas or concepts versus just being, you know, stuck with the basic energy of the card. You know, I like looking
that's what I specialize in. I have that all through Tarot in Reverse. I have tons of contemporary examples. Like for that card, I have, you know, the clipping coupons, but also something like cross training, because remember, Pentacles is the earth suit that covers the material realm, including our bodies and our health. And so when you add the two, when you're introducing more than one, you know, I also put in there under the keywords is cross training. Like instead of just working out, instead of just lifting weights, you go to lifting weights, to sit-ups, to the bicycle. You know, you cross-train. You do more than one type to strengthen a whole system of muscles, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love finding contemporary ways to interpret cards, and that's kind of like my specialty. I love that because that's where we live, you know. We live in modern times, and I think it's important to really think about and filter, you know, the numerology and the elements and the image of the deck you're using as well, and how it applies, you know, to real life.
And you mentioned before about, you know, the minor arcana dealing with the everyday, you know, and some of the examples I give in my course to kind of get people to start looking at combination of cards. You know, we just did the Two of Cups, and the Two of Pentacles plus the Two of Cups could mean up and downs in a relationship. And with the Two of Wands, it could mean turning a hobby into a career. Or with the Hangman, it could mean financial setbacks. Or with the Ten of Swords, it could mean the end of a career path. You know, so I in this part of the course, when I'm doing the course, I try to get people to start looking at combinations. And, you know, okay,
absolutely,
if you take the Two of Pentacles and you combine it with something else, you know, what do you get out of that? You know, there's a lot of examples.
Exactly. Because even though we can milk a lot of information from one card, and I think tarotists are mistaken a lot of times, especially beginning their practice, thinking that more cards are better or more cards give you more information. And I think sometimes we don't milk cards for what they have. And I think some the most powerful spreads are 1, 2, 3 cards, you know. But like you said, you know, most of the time spreads aren't done in a, readings aren't done in a vacuum. There's at least another card, and then we have to learn to tell ourselves stories and our clients' stories, and we have to say, okay, if this is this and this is this, how do those two meld together? What could that mean? And so, yeah, I think it's very helpful when, you know, teaching about cards, you say, okay, well, if we were to combine this and this, what could it mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So
shall
do we
go
want
on?
To do?
Yeah,
I was
there
just
we go.
Say,
you
what
go
do
to,
you want to go on to?
We could do wands. We could do wands. Now I consider this and the swords, the two masculine suits, wands and swords, as having special extra duality of the attracting and repelling energy more so than. The cups and the coins, which I feel are mostly attracting and, you know, grabbing and doing something with it and then passing on, whereas I see the most tension we have with the twos are the wands and the swords, masculine. And the Two of Wands I see is kind of like a what's next card. You know, the person desperately wants to draw something to themselves. And perhaps they're feeling a bit of an identity crisis too, because, you know, even in the Rider Waite, you know, there's a guy looking at the world in his hand, a little globe of the world, and he's got his hand on a stick that's is resting upon, you know, a ledge, whereas the other stick is actually affixed with metal, you know. And so there's kind of like a stay or go type of thing, you know, might be an identity crisis. Should I stay in my hometown or should I go overseas? So the results a lot of times I see in the Two of Wands is impatience or a yearning for something or someone to arrive. And yet it also can be a card of creative tension between collaborators, especially, you know, if you're trying to get a project off the ground. You know, whereas the Two of Cups working together, you know, would have similar sensibilities and, you know, they work together so well and they get each other and then they produce something. Whereas the Two of Wands would be perhaps more volatile. I'm reminded of the Sherman Brothers, who composed and performed many of the Disney songs. I think it's Robert Sherman and Robert and I can't remember what his brother's name was. Very similar. But one was more boisterous and extrovert, and the other one, who was really affected by the war, became more withdrawn and stern. And there's a movie about them, and I can't remember what it was called. The Sherman Brothers, I think, but if you Google it. But anyway, it's a really cool movie that I think aptly shows the Two of Wands energy, where you have these two creators, you know, one was mostly the lyricist and, you know, the composer, the other one was mostly the piano player, and they worked together, but, oh, my God, did they butt heads, you know? And so there was some heat, you know, just like wands is associated with fire and tension, but it kind of got sad towards the end when they you know, it's really sad to hear how they kept going separate, and how I think the one didn't talk to the other. But my God, the music that they created, I mean, they wrote the songs for Mary Poppins and so many other beloved Disney movies. And yet, you know, there was a lot of tension, and in the end, that tension actually repelled them apart. You know, they were irresistibly drawn together to collaborate. You know, it was almost like they just had it in their soul path, I guess, where they were drawn together and it worked well and they were brilliant. And, you know, Walt Disney called them the boys. And, but, you know, the tension just kept mounting over the years until it finally repelled them, you know. So I really see the Two of Wands as an attraction and repulsion energy. And some of that because the Wands, I feel, deals with identity a lot and, you know, anything that deals with the self, self-confidence, self-possession, self-image. You know, that sometimes that can get in the way of the attraction or the collaboration or the trying to come together. So it's definitely, I see an attraction and repelling energy in the Two of Wands card.
Yeah, just like how you started talking about all the twos as those magnets that can be repelling or repulsing. And, you know, maybe there's a... Yeah, or both in this case is what I was going to point out and say that, you know, maybe that's going on in all the cards, really, if you look deep enough, I suppose.
Well, there is always a tension because, you know, there's so many layers to tarot cards. And, you know, like you were saying, how you saw the Two of Cups as the healing card, and I was thinking of how really all cards can be healing. I mean, you have a tower hit you, and it blows everything to smithereens, everything you thought about, you know, God, let's say, or the nature of the universe, or the nature of reality, trust issue, whatever. When you get devastated like that, there, you know, it breaks you open. There's an opportunity for healing. You know, same way with death. If something passes away, there's an opportunity, you know, for new growth and healing in that department. I think all the cards are opportunities to heal, grow, evolve, you know. But the tension aspect, absolutely, because in this world that we live in, you know, we ourselves have an other that we always deal with. You know, unless we're ascended gurus and we realize all is one and we see no duality, but most of us are not there. And so there is always an other, and the other causes tension. To anything, two or more causes some type of tension or dynamic, you know. And so, you know, when we're reading the tarot or even meditating or whatever, there's always an other. The other can be our belief systems, you know, our view of ourselves or view of the world, or an actual person, a relationship, our job, our kids, our calling, our, you know, our spiritual path, you know, there's always an other. So anytime there is an other, there is tension of some sort. There's a resolution that is trying to be made, or some kind of synthesis to mesh it together.
Yeah, we see that dynamic, you know, play out in so many relationships and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what I like to point out when I'm talking about the two wands is his red cloak indicates his passion for his endeavors. And because it's wands, that fire energy, following your passions, you know, career a lot, plans and partnerships are created. You move forward with the plans. He's looking out over that vast sea. So perhaps his ships have left the harbor and he's waiting for them to return filled with their products. And I see that as happening then in the Three of Wands. You mentioned the globe. That's one of my favorite things. I often say, you know, that the whole world is his oyster. Or maybe he's finding his place in the world.
Exactly.
That's
what I was thinking. Because of the self aspects of wands, he's, what is my place in the world? You know, where do I fit in? And that's how I see the wands, is one is fixed, you know, to that parapet with metal, but the other one is freestanding that he's holding on to. And that's why I kind of see it like, should I stay or should I go? You know, in the sense that, you know, should I go travel and see the world? Does my fortune or my path lead me away from home, or do I stay in this area and stay planted? And then you have, of course, the white in the Rider Waite card, the white lilies and the red roses, which show up in various cards. And I see that as the purity of motive and purity of wanting something, but then you have the red of passion. And when you mix purity and passion, you know, there's a lot of duality there. Because then you're offered, there's temptation, there's, you know, do I go by, you know, the motives of my heart, or do I go by perhaps what I lust for, or what will make me look good, or what will advance my career, you know, as opposed to the purity of spirit where, let's say, a person feels called to something and they're drawn to it, and yet, let's say, their family pressures them, oh, no, you know, this is a family of doctors or lawyers, you can't go be an artist. Or, and how many people squash there, you know, right there at the Two of Wands stage, you know, they're being squashed because, you know, instead of going to the purity of what they really truly want to do and feel called to do, they follow, you know, the fiery red, you know, passion or desires of what other people want for them or say is successful. And so there's a, you know, a big, you know, attraction and repulsion there, you know. And a lot of times I think that's why the Two of Wands is a frustration energy, you know, especially if, you know, he did indeed send those ships out. You know, he's maybe frustrated because they didn't come in time, or he's waiting for them. And, you know, most people do not like to wait, you know.
Absolutely. But there's this yearning, this searching going on in the card. So I often tell people, well, if you get that card with another card, like if you get the Two of Wands with the Two of Cups or the Lovers, it could mean looking for love. Or if you get the Two of Wands with the Hermit card, it could be searching for a mentor or a teacher. So, you know, some more contemporary ways of looking at it or applying it in combined cards with other cards.
Yeah, in a very abstract way, I see those two wands as almost like horns of a bull, which, you know, is kind of like a nod to that saying, grab the bull by the horns. And so, you know,
there you go.
Those two, yeah, and I see those two, and it's like, okay, it's time to grab the bull by the horns. It's time to really, you know, go for what you want and decide, you know, where your ambitions lie, and if you're going to go by ambition, which is kind of like the red rose, or you're going to go by, you know, the purity of the spirit and what you feel called a higher calling. And, of course, it's always great when they happen to be the one and the same thing. But I think for most people, it probably is not.
Mm-hmm. Well, before we go to the two wands, I wanted to mention, again, if you have any questions about what we're talking about or you want to make comments, go over to the chat room, psychictalk.net/live. I see Sonia in there coming all the way from Paris. Kind citizen is in there. Not too many people in the chat room today, though. So, you know, if you're listening live, this is your opportunity to ask questions about the two cards or the tarot or reading in general. You know, so pop into the chat room. It's on our live page. Click listen live at the top of any page on the website or go specifically to psychictalk.net/live. Scroll down under the player and get in the chat room with us and ask some questions. And of course, I wanted to mention, if you're calling in today, we're not going to be taking phone calls. You got to ask the questions in the chat room. We're not doing readings on today's show because we got way too much to cover, and we're almost through our time already. Oh boy. Got a question from Sonia from Paris, trying to understand what she's asking. Why do you got so many different tarots? Why there are different kinds of tarots? Why the psychics interpret differently the cards?
Well, we are creative people as humans. And the tarot is a very fascinating structure. And it lends itself, I feel, to creative minds and creative hearts because it's a skeleton, it's a structure. And anybody who is extremely creative or they have different interests and disciplines will see immediately that it's a ready-made structure that you can think of a house, you know, that you can finish any way you want. You know, once you have the bare bones of the wood, you know, in the foundation, then you can put on any kind of siding you want, brick or stone, decide what kind of windows you want. Then when you get inside, you can decorate it the way you want. And I think the reason why there's especially been so much differentiation in tarot is because if you notice a lot, when tarot art started really coming in was around the 60s and 70s, and then it just kept snowballing. And in America, at least, where a lot of these decks have been created, you know, there was a lot of upheaval with national identity and with the sexual revolution, the identity of women and the roles of men and women, and they were going out of the 50s and the traditional, and they were going into something different. And I think that transition from, like, the age of Pisces to the age of Aquarius kind of stirred up a visionary type energy in people. And, you know, they were looking to metaphysics and, you know, psychotropic drugs and things to in meditation, different spiritual traditions that were from the East, like the Beatles, you know, popularized ones and things like that. And so then people's minds and hearts and things have became expanded. And I think, you know, people saw the tarot and said, wait a minute, you know, I see these correlations to modern life, and the ancients or the older symbols don't relate to me, especially if, you know, they weren't initiated in any Western magical tradition like the Golden Dawn or the OTO or were not followers of Thoth or things like that. And they thought, wow, you know, this is such an applicable energy once they read the interpretations. And they thought, well, how, you know, how might this manifest in through the lens of other themes? And, you know, that's why Ron and I created the Snowland deck, which is all snow themed, and then the Coffee Tarot, and because it's just another way to expand the world of tarot and its amazing abilities to broaden our minds, our viewpoints, our perspectives, and to receive inspiration and comfort and direction. So I say, why not? You know, why not add to it?
Mm-hmm. So hopefully that helped you out there, Sonia.
And to answer her other question, the reason why so many people interpret it differently is because we all bring our bag of tricks with us. We all bring our backgrounds with us. Like Dax is very numerologically heavy and leans to the Rider-Waite. Me, I have my Christian theology background and mysticism, the background in literature and psychology. So my approach is more pop culture, psychology, and with some, you know, Christian mysticism and symbolism in there. So everybody brings their own skills and tools to interpret what a card means, and that's why, you know, different readers have different styles.
Right, and also
some tarot readers supposedly say they're not even psychic. I mean, I don't know how that works, but there's a lot of tarot readers that say they are not psychic. They just, quote, read the cards. So I don't understand how that works because I know I was born psychic with foreknowledge and clair audience and cognition and all that. So I can't imagine how you would not use that. But, I mean, supposedly there are some tarot readers that say they're not even psychic. So don't ask me what they're doing, but, you know, there it is.
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned earlier, you know, for me, it is learning a new language, and different people have different interpretations of what these individual words or sentences mean in the language, you know. And what's amazing is that it always works. And the big mistake that everybody makes is that tarot is this thing and it has these fixed meanings, and that's all you can ever, you know, use. If you're saying a different meaning for a card or a symbol in a card, then you're incorrect. And it's like, no, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way.
Just like you have fundamentalists in religion, you get tarot fundamentalists. You know, and they say only one deck is the right way, the interpretation is the right way, and everything else is just, you know, just a gimmick, which is, you know, utter bullshit. And it's like, if they want to stay, you know, in the 15th, 16th century, you know, good for them, fine, we'll see how relevant you are. But to your, you know, clients and to the tarot world in general, but, you know, I see tarot as a living entity. And if it's living, it has to grow and expand. You know, it's not static. I mean, something is static, you know, it's like the Dead Sea. You just have stuff flowing in it, nothing flows out, and so guess what? There's no life in there, and there's, you know, no fish, no living things. But then if you have something like, you know, a river, you know, like the Nile or what have you, you know, you have water going in, water going out, so there's always movement, there's always life, you know, and there's always adaptation and fluctuation. That's life.
Absolutely.
We didn't cover the Two of Swords yet. We got to get to the Two of Swords.
Yeah, we're going to do the two of Swords. That's one of my favorite cards. It's just very, very interesting to me. I always see swords.
Really? That's interesting. I don't like that card.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like it. A lot of people don't like it. But for me, it's almost an analogy for the whole tarot reading experience. You know, 80% of your clients are coming to you with questions because they're at a crossroads, you know. And I just see swords as ideas and thoughts. And in the Waite Smith version and related versions, you got the two swords crossing each other. And it's such a great analogy there, where you've got two thoughts or ideas working against each other, or you're at a crossroads and she's blindfolded so she can't see clearly, which is why you go to a tarot reader to get some clarity. Yeah. Sometimes a need for a truce could be indicated, but a lot of times it's, you know, making a decision, or I love the flip side of that, just not wanting to make a decision. You know,
that's what I don't like. Yeah, because I consider this the fence sitting card.
It is often, right?
And I the blindfold, I consider that willful blindness. You know, I see
often,
that as,
very
you know,
often.
Yeah, it's willful blindness. It's refusing to see. And I think the moon, as it's in placing those swords with the universal weight, isn't that moon in Gemini or something? If that's true, Gemini is like of two minds as well. You know, there's that going back and forth, vacillation and indecision. You're going back and forth between ideas and option. And I see this as an attract and repelling energy as well. You know, you have an idea drawn to you, but then you're like, no, and then you push it out of your mind. In tarot in reverse, I talk about the BTK serial killer. And how, you know, the wife had clues that her husband was, Dennis Rader, was BTK, the serial killer.
Oh, wow.
And she just, and matter of fact, they were sitting in the living room together, and they played a phone call because he started getting cocky towards the end, which is what ended up getting him caught, his hubris. But he made the phone call to the cops, and he would taunt them, and they had a portion of you know, what he said, and you know, the wife actually, you know, kind of recognized. She says, "Why, he sounds just like you. I mean, so stupid. I just can't see how she didn't see it." And some of the other alarm bells and red flags that came up, you know. So I don't like this card because I think it's like self-delusion and just bullshit, like fence sitting, you know, willful blindness, refusing, you know, to make a decision, or refusing to see the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They know the truth deep down, you know, but they either decide to lie to someone, or, you know, they have no intention of keeping a promise, or they won't see the truth of the situation. And a lot of times there's the tension between the facts and the feelings. You know, who wants to believe that their husband is a serial killer, you know?
Exactly.
And oh, but I love him, you know, and a lot of times that's the excuse for abusers too, you know, oh, but I love him, you know, the tension between the facts and the feelings. And so there's blurred distinctions, you know, a cognitive dissonance, you know, there are paradox, contradictions. And then there's certainty versus shame. Some people prefer the certainty of their crappy condition rather than the shame of admitting, okay, this relationship didn't work and so I have to leave it. Or, you know, I hate this job, but I'm going to stay at it because I don't want to be seen as a failure if I quit, you know. And then there's also like the duality of facts versus the fear of fallout, you know. What happens if I tell the truth? What happens if I show myself for what I am? What happens if I believe the clues that I see? And in some ways, you know, the Two of Swords is like a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. Because, you know, no matter which one you choose, you know, there's going to be repercussions. You know, and it's a matter of, you know, do you prefer the devil that you know or the devil you don't? You know, so I see that as a lot. Or even like speaking with forked tongue. You know, I see those two swords almost like a forked tongue, you know, like somebody who speaks out of both sides of their mouth because of the swords being, you know, the realm of communication as well. And so, yeah, I'm not a huge fan of that Two of Swords, I have to say.
Well, another aspect I always point out that kind of goes along with what you're saying is she has her back to the sea, and being blindfolded, she's blind to, you know, threats or potential risk, you know, like the rocks in the sea can represent obstacles. She's also blind to alternative solutions or key pieces of information. That kind of goes along with, you know, go ahead.
And the water, like you point out, that's a great observation because the water a lot of times too also refers to either the subconscious or intuition. So she's ignoring, you know, her intuition. Her back is to her intuition. Or to the subconscious signal, you know, that she's getting. She knows something's wrong, something's not quite right, but she just will not see it. She refuses to see it. She doesn't want to see it. She'd rather stay in the dark. She'd rather stay in the dark with the blindfold. Willful ignorance and willful blindness, you know. Not a fan, Dad. Not a fan.
I love it.
We need to get that ace sword in there. We need to knock the swords out of her hands, slash the blindfold, turn her around and say, "Look at the damn ocean."
Pick one
can't
sword.
You see what's in front of you. Yeah, just one sword. That's all it takes to get that clarity. Oh,
yeah, see,
funny.
I can't wait. I can't wait till next week when we get to the threes, because then we have that progression from the one sword to the two cross swords to the Three of Swords, which is what happens when you don't follow the Two of Swords.
Yeah, the Three of Swords is such a heartbreaking card. I wrote that chapter, I think, a few days ago, and it just it's such a hard card to write about. You know, Three of Swords is just a hard card. You know, it's just so devastating and sad. So, yeah, we'll be talking about the threes. Yeah,
you're gonna have to wait till next week.
Right, you have to wait. We do just get a teaser, but yeah, you know, the numerology is sometimes like a progression. You don't see things for what they are in the Two of Swords, or you don't deal with the situation, and it could definitely progress to the three. And there you go. There you have your betrayal or your heartache or something goes public, regardless, or you know, bad deal.
Yeah,
usually a very bad deal. Mhm.
And Sonia in the chat room.
I think it's funny that we're. I think it's funny how we're like talking about these figures like they're people, because I think it's great when we humanize them and we enter them in the stories or we act like it's somebody we know, because they are. They're people we know. They're us. You know, they're our neighbors. They're our clients. And so I think it's cool when you have a sense of playfulness and a sense of story, because then you can understand the cards better, and it also will make it easier once you start, you know, doing the combinations like you were saying earlier.
Yeah, Sonia's comment in the chat room kind of wraps it all up. By the way, perfect timing. I mean, we're right at an hour and we're finishing. Well, she says, "Oh my God, it's a crazy story." It's like exactly right. I mean, look at just one card, the Two of Swords, how deep you can go. And then we also went deep into the other three cards as well, you know. And that's where you're that's where your, you know, real learning of the cards comes from, and then you start combining them and so forth, and that's tarot.
And it always helps when you have a great co-host like Dax, because then you have two different worldviews that you can bounce off each other, you can meld, you get new insights. I'm always learning and adding to my toolbox, and so that's what's always great when you talk to, you know, other tarot people, and because then you're like, oh, yeah, I never saw it that way, or, oh, that's a cool story or a cool connection, and then you kind of add it to your toolbox, and then you just keep expanding it.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's why it's great to be on our Tarot Guild group on Facebook. You know, we have over, God, I can't remember what it is now, 5,200, I can't remember, but over 5,000 people, over 5,200.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, and then there's a lot of people on the Psychic Talk radio group that's specifically for that. And joining the Tarot Guild and signing up for my course and getting in the group, private group with all the other students and banding things about, because, you know, it doesn't mean just one thing. You know, people are like, what does this mean? It's like, well, what does it mean to you? And, you know, have to learn different points of view and develop your own language. And that's going to work for you when you do reading.
Not to mention that the issue and the question at hand means it's a different application. I mean, you know, if you have a Two of Cups card, you know, in romance, it's going to be a different interpretation in at work, you know. So, you know, the card depends on the position. If, you know, you draw the Two of Cups in a challenge position, then obviously it's going to mean something different if you drew it in the blessings position.
Absolutely. Another great, fun, information-packed episode, right?
Woohoo!
And we're just getting started.
The three. Yeah, yeah. It's so fun. I love writing and talking about the minor arcana, because it just gets so passed over. You know, everybody focuses on the majors, and it's like, oh, come on, they're so recognizable. Let's get to the minors, which confuse most people. You know, let's get to the, you know, nitty-gritty of everyday life. I love the minors. They're my favorite.
Mine as well. And just before we go off today, I want to mention, you know, we weren't doing readings today, but we do it on every other show. So, you know, 7 days a week we usually do readings, but, you know, while we're doing these little mini classes, we're just going to take questions about the tarot and about what we're talking about in that particular mini class. Like next week, it's the threes, and only from the chat room, because it just takes so long to get onto the phone lines with the callers and everything, Janet. You know, I just thought, hey, this is a better way to do it. We're just going to do it from the chat room. And we did get some good questions. I hope more people will join us.
Yeah, maybe next week people will come prepared with their questions about the threes, or if they want to ask us questions about even the aces and the twos that we already covered, if they want to chime in and say, hey, you said this in the past show, or I've heard this about ace, twos, or, you know, threes, what do you think? So feel free to, you know, write down your questions and bring them with you next week, say it in the chat room, and we'll definitely answer them for you.
Right, right. And you can, you know, always call in on Thursday show with Sue and Ann, and get a reading from them. Oh, they got a great show tomorrow. They got The Power of Astrology with Francois Arbouz. I can't even pronounce it. He is a French-born molecular and genetic biologist and astrologer who lives in Stockholm, Sweden.
Wow. I saw that. I saw that for upcoming shows, and I'm like, man, that sounds fascinating.
Oh, gosh, really great. And then Friday, Goddess Guidance, they're actually talking about divination, and I have no clue, you know, what aspect. That's a big subject, so I don't know what they're going to be talking about. I can't wait to tune in for that show. And as I mentioned, I'll be back on Saturday with Mary, Psychic Protection and Creating Sacred Space. And Mary's got some great techniques. You know, it mostly came up about psychic protection for psychics and readers, and creating sacred space is a very big part of that. So we're going to be talking about that on the show. And as I mentioned earlier in today's show, you know, I'm going to be talking about a couple of different tarot instant altar creating techniques, you know, that you can use for sacred space before readings. And we're going to talk about the importance of, you know, shutting down those connections when you're done with the reading, which a lot of people don't do. And it's always an open line show on Saturday, so you can call in and chat with us about psychic protection, creating sacred space, but you can ask us any question about anything that Mary and I are involved with, everything from energy healing and Reiki to numerology and tarot and hypnosis and psychic development, law of attraction, the whole gambit. So that's what's coming up, folks. You can find out all the shows that are coming up on the network, psychictalk.net/upcoming. Well, thanks, Janet, and thanks to all our listeners. This was a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to the threes.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dax. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody. Bye, Janet.
Bye-bye.